Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello, it's kind of me, I think, and this is the Overseas Connection, and this is episode 47 and a half?
479.
479.
Bloody amateurs.
Yeah. Well, it's 478 and a half. We're in the middle. This is sort of an E3 wrap-up show. I've got Greg, and there's Phil, and there's Mark being really fucking bitchy.
I'm in one of my moods today.
Yeah, he is indeed.
Not alone. There's multiple bitchy people on this podcast right now.
Yeah, well, I kind of think the way it is. I mean, I know I've just dived in from work. It's now just after 9 o'clock here, and I think Greg is still working. He's doing extremely well. Yes. And we've got Phil there, and he's got his old Betamax camera set up tonight, and that's going extremely well. And Mark has got his wind-up computer on the go tonight, so anything can happen. There isn't really a lot of structure on the Overseas Connection podcast most weeks, but especially not tonight.
Well,
so what we're going to do is we're just going to have a general feel, touch, squeeze right. about what happened at
Again,
E3.
Again, Robin, I told you about that. Oh, right,
E3. Yeah. Look, it's not, look, if you stare at me for longer than 5 seconds, I will be very, very disappointed. I believe that's against the law in Netflix land now, I hear in the news today. So this is a completely politically correct podcast, and we don't do anything bad or say anything derogatory about any other person apart from Greg DeLisi. So we were very lucky to have one of our members down at the conference, or one of the conferences this week, and that was Greg.
My member was there, yes.
His member was there. I'm amazed he actually got it in. And yeah, so what we're going to do, we're just going to chat. So, guys, if you can open up your E3 page, EA, and EA opened up with Anthem. And I have to say, Anthem was the darling of the show last year. I got to think and feel that it just maybe didn't impress us as much. Maybe things have moved on dramatically, but it looked good. But,
I thought the gameplay looked pretty decent.
Yeah.
So it looked like Destiny.
Yeah.
So I've heard multiple outlets reporting since the EA conference, and I think the EA conference did Anthem no favors, much like some other games we're going to talk about later on. But Anthem since then has been played behind closed doors. People have gotten hands on with it, and everybody is coming back pretty glowingly about Anthem, saying that it feels great. It's playing well. I think it was just a matter of EA, again, kind of did a quirky, you know, let's sit down with the developers and talk about the game and not really show off the game. I mean, they had this weird kind of loop running over and over again while they were talking to the developers that just basically was kind of showing the javelin jumping off the cliff edge and flying for a little bit.
Was it a pink javelin?
Yeah. It might have been.
Ah, bum, 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 bum. There was lots of tongue-in-cheek. That was pretty funny with the EA thing. There was lots of double entendres going. Even if they didn't realize they were doing it, we were sitting giggling away at it. Battlefield 5, it got a showing as well. I was quite impressed with that. I think that is the premier shooter now for war type things, especially after finishing Battlefield War Stories last night. They're just great, and that looks good too. So
supposedly something that was not heard during the press conference, because I think they edited it out. However, when they announced the Battle Royale mode for Battlefield 5,
yeah,
there was an audible boo from the audience.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
People were not happy about that.
Do you know what? Like, I'm nearly every game, I mean, has sort of a horde mode, King of the Hill, all of that sort of stuff, you know, and starting the Halo days back then, all right. That sort of stuff. So what's wrong with every game also now having a Royale type mode? And some of them might do it better.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of there's anything wrong with having a Battle Royale mode. I think the problem is You know, Battle Royale, you know, kind of came about, and some smaller games captured this energy. They captured this momentum, and they kind of rose to the top. And what we're seeing is some of these really big giant companies that are the companies that have been dominating for so long. They're now kind of chasing the dollar, so to speak. Call of Duty is doing their own Battle Royale. Now Battlefield 5 is doing their own Battle Royale. And it feels like a cash grab instead of a genuine, hey, we wanted to make this fun mode for gamers. And I think that's the big problem with it.
Well, lots of small ideas are taken over by big companies, and sometimes they can do a fantastic thing. And if it is fantastic, it won't matter if it's a big company or not. People will play it, you know?
Yeah, if it is good, there's going to be less groaning about it. I think this is just that knee-jerk reaction.
And Battlefield is a thing that people jump out of planes. You know, it's a war thing. It sort of fits, you know, some of those big maps, even in Battlefield 4, you know, they would work. Or Battlefield 1 even.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be interesting to see how they get the what they're going to use as the method of the decreasing ring. Because they can't have a wall of electricity, so
that sounds like
a gas field, or
that sounds like a karate move. The method of the Dokushin ring, Japanese. Yeah, it is going to be interesting how they do it, and they all have their spin on it. But it'll be a smaller circle. I had a dream the other night. Wouldn't it be great if you had, when you applied this to some other games, like maybe Forza Horizon 3 had a Royale mode in it. That the circle in your car has got smaller and smaller. So the little track cars that they've done, the little DLC pack, that you had to stay on a track as the circle got smaller and smaller and you fell off the track. You know, there's so many things you could apply it to with an original spin. Peggle? No, that wouldn't work. Okay, well, so keeping this moving along, because there's lots to cover. So yes, there was a good showing of that. That looks interesting enough. There was the usual plethora of sports stuff that we are not really into. Well, football anyway. Madden had another showing, and NBA Live, which is something different there, I suppose, from them coming. And then there was a rake of stuff, weird and wonderful, Sea of Solitude. And of course, there was the pleading of Dennis from DICE came on, if I remember correctly, and talking about Star Wars Battlefront 2, and please, please, please come and play our game. We're sorry we've messed up, but it's good.
Yeah,
come and play.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It was as though the subtitle should have been, you know, we fixed our game now, so please come back and try and play it again. Even though I don't necessarily know they fixed it completely.
Yeah, well, they lost me. They've lost me. Yeah. When it goes into the vault, I'll play it then. And then they had one drop. They had, really in the shop to buy now, is Unravel 2. So our little cute woolly friend is back with a buddy, and you could go and get it straight away. And Unravel was nice, and I'm sure Unravel 2 is good. And I see Richard Webster and a few others on my playlist have been playing away at it. So, yeah.
Which is completed it, yeah.
Important to note, there was one other big announcement. I don't know if you were getting ready to move on from the EA press conference, but I don't know that we talked about this in the previous podcast, but EA Premium Origin Access.
So, of course.
EA made the announcement that they're now having kind of two levels of EA Access. Kind of the base level, I guess, is there still, but they're going to give players an opportunity to do premium access, which now basically is a subscription service that you pay, I think it's like $15 a month, but you get access to all of their titles, whether they be out now, coming out, or you know, in the vault, so to speak.
So it'll be nice to see if they can release that for consoles as well. So you see if they can get that
one. It's $15 a month or $100 a year. But if you're getting, like the Game Pass, if you're getting brand new releases, that ain't too bad. I just hope they bring it to consoles, like so.
Yeah. And the CEO guy that was up there, I have his name written down, forget his name.
Andrew Wilson.
Fred.
He's Fred. He was talking about... Yeah, and quite a few times mentioned that this is a service now. This is the way things are going. This is the way people want to consume this content, and that is the way it's going. We're all going to be downloading our games or renting our games even more, even though that we buy them right now, but we buy the right to play them. We don't actually buy them, which is these downloads and even your physical disc is just a way to get it loaded onto the console and the permission slip to play the thing. So,
But again, this is you know, just to let's talk about this for a beat. This is the way not just the gaming industry has been moving. This is the way the media industry has been moving. You don't buy. There's very few people that buy music anymore outright. They do Spotify. They do iTunes rental services. There are nobody practically buys movies anymore off the shelf. They subscribe to Netflix. They subscribe to Hulu. They subscribe to Amazon Prime.
And it brings up lots of interesting things. So, I mean, I have a few hundred movies on various different things. So, like Amazon, and I've got quite a few on iTunes movies over the years, and I've built up on my music from iTunes, which I don't use anymore. Because I'm now on Spotify. And then I think about my Xbox account with the thousands and thousands of pounds worth of games that I have on there, which I have access to. And if I snuff it tomorrow, it brings up all of the, well, should I now be putting that sort of stuff in my will to transfer the ownership of that when you die? I mean, I know it's a morbid subject, but there's a lot of financial clout in, you know, 200 or 300 movies on Amazon and a couple of £1,000 worth of games on a subscription service.
So ironically, I believe this is actually being addressed in the terms of services, because most of this is not transferable.
I know.
Almost all this stuff is not transferable. Yeah. So your collection dies with you. It doesn't live on in perpetuity.
Yeah, unless the kids keep my username and password going.
Exactly.
Thing, you know. So so that was E3. EA. Let's do quick some round the table here. A score from A to Z for EA. I'll start it off and I'll give them a B- because I thought it was a decent enough show. I didn't think it was terribly bad or cringeworthy, and a B. I'm giving them a B-. Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was better than last year, because last year was cringeworthy, the amount of issues I had. But I still didn't think it was brilliant. I'd give it a C+.
Yeah, I'm giving it a C. Better than last year, but really, they should have done more. I mean, Anthem is going to be their flagship game, or should be their flagship game, and they really didn't show it off well enough. So I was left slightly disappointed on that, so C from me.
And Greg?
And I will also give them a C.
There we go.
Not great. Not horrible, but not great.
Yeah. Okay, Microsoft. Now, here was a conference and a half. They showed 50-odd games. It was packed to the hilt with lots and lots and lots of stuff that was going on there. And Phil Spencer came up, and he did do a bit of waffling on stage. There was a couple of times they did waffle a bit. But I thoroughly enjoyed the Microsoft conference. In fact, there were some parts of it that, as Kim said to us, boys, do you need to take a minute to clean up? we'll get to that. Battletoads has raised its ugly head again. That has to be Phil Spencer, because he was always a fan of Battletoads. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. But I think that's also, it's a passion project for Phil, but it's also something that they can develop and kind of get off the ground easily enough. It's not going to be a big development project. This is almost going to be equivalent to a little indie project.
Yep. Yeah. The other big one, which is keeps on coming out and just seems to be gathering dust, is Crackdown 3. It came out again. Terry Crews was yelling a lot, and we've seen quite a bit of him. It doesn't look as pretty as it has done, but maybe this is reality now.
No, I think that was proper gameplay by the look of it, because that was more cel-shaded than we've seen before.
Yeah,
they've obviously scaled the fidelity down, haven't they? They've reduced it to try and get some performance issues sorted, which is probably where the delays come from.
And I think this has suffered from Scotch mist syndrome. We've seen it so many times, vaporware. We've seen it so many times now. So many big promises, and we're all a bit jaded.
No. Yeah, but you know, the way I look at it, hey, The Last Guardian got delayed for eons. That ended up being an okay game. Came out. It had decent enough reviews, and people seemed to like it well enough. I'm kind of hoping that Crackdown 3 comes out, and this actually is their answer to Battle Royale. Because, quite honestly, Crackdown 3, in terms of a Battle Royale mode, it's the perfect environment. Destructible cities, environments. You imagine just, you know, dwindling down to 100 players where you're blowing up buildings, everything around
throwing
you.
Throwing cars onto each other.
Yeah. The insanity of that universe seems like it's a perfect fit for some kind of Battle Royale mode. I'm not one way or the other really caring at this point. I will give it its proper due once it finally comes out, whenever that is.
Hmm. Yeah. Another big thing, and that was at the end of the show, was Cyberpunk 2077, which is the Witcher guys, that CD Projekt Red. It looks pretty interesting. We've seen some in-engine trailers and stuff like that there. It looks pretty darn neat, actually.
So real quickly, when they made that announcement, that played out so well inside the theater. I know, you know, on screen, I'm sure it was a matter of Phil was talking, and I can only imagine it probably cut to the screen of like a weird hack.
Showed you it flickering behind him on what we saw, and then the thing on the right started coming up, and then it panned to that. Yeah, so it did look like there was an error at first.
Yeah, well, the entire theater started doing the flashing and the sound cutting in and out and the staticky stuff, and of course the lights go black and then they come back up and they go black again and they came back up, and it was just a really well done moment, because I was wondering to myself, I'm like, well, is he going to have a one more thing moment? And then he starts going into his spiel, and I'm like, oh, I guess not. I think this is the wrap up, and they played it off pretty darn well. Well in the theater.
I think there's, well, I know I was anyway, was hoping that Fable would come along, which was surprised that it didn't. And maybe it will later on. So
I'm not surprised at all that it didn't. I think that they alluded to it with the purchase of Playground Studios. Phil even said there's an unannounced project that they're working on, which all but confirms Fable 4. I didn't think we would be seeing any gameplay. I mean, so much of what Microsoft did in this conference is kind of they're showing the dedication to being a leader in the industry, and not just with lip service. They're paving the way with they're bringing on studios. They're ponying up, so to speak. They needed to do this probably a good 2 years ago, to be perfectly frank. But they didn't have that ability at that time.
Well, again, I mean, what their purchases are still a couple of years away. So they're sort of saying, the games that these companies have, maybe they will have something in production that they can get earlier. But that it's sort of setting it up for 2 years or 3 years from now. So, I mean, they bought a brand new setup from Santa Monica called The Initiative. They've bought Undead Labs, which are your State of Decay people.
Right.
Playground Games, Ninja Theory, which went down really well with the PlayStation fanboys, and Compulsion Games, which are the guys that are making We Happy Few. So good investment, especially, you know, Plex Playground as well, which is, there was a bit of a rumor from that. So, that was good for them. So Cyberpunk, good. Division 2 was shown there as well, which is kind of groovy. And I'm very interested in that. That looked good. I had a lot of fun with The Division, and this looks pretty darn good too.
Yeah.
Again, it's more of the same, but the same. It looks good. It looks more advanced. Some of the little weapons that they had were brilliant. Good demo. Apart from the usual, we've got to go over here. Let's go and take this on. But the gameplay.
Yeah, the scripted shit was there again, wasn't it? But
yeah, it wasn't just as bad, but it's still there. I don't know.
I liked some of the new abilities what they had. Like in the old game, you just like you sort of like turret gun what you throw out on that. But now there's like what we call a hive, which like launches up like a bouncing Betty bomb from World War II. It shoots up and then fires a load of like mini guided mini rockets. There was a rolling mine what went through the water, which we thought was a torpedo. It was actually one of those rolling mines what we had in the first game. It looks really interesting. But they've changed the weak spots on the enemies, so it's not just the head this time. So yeah, right. They're learning from it all.
Yeah, that's good. We'll talk more about that when we get to their conference. And then Dying Light 2, which was a first really show. Good. And again, that looked. Well, I don't think we realised what it was.
No, we didn't know what it was at all. We were guessing.
So it's right, Rage to start off with.
Yeah. So that looks very interesting take on. And there didn't seem to be a lot of zombies through because it was all daytime stuff we seen. So maybe the baddie zombies come out at nighttime. Maybe
that they do. In fact, they were saying that at nighttime, it changes gears, and then the zombies come out at nighttime. So
then we had a nice touch of Fallout 76. We'll get to that when we get to Bethesda. And then the stuff that we were jizzing about, which was Forza Horizon 4. Oh, my goodness, this looks so good. I don't know why, but I wasn't expecting a Forza. I suppose maybe it's due. You know, how can they improve on Forza Horizon 3? Looks like they've done it. And it's in jolly old Blighty. And we had lots of dry stone walls that were getting crushed. They brought right. in
for those, by the way, of you not in England or you know within the UK. That is, it's in. They said classic Britain, by the way, which I'm not quite sure what that means.
It means stone walls and countryside. It means
no chavs, okay. No chip shops.
Yeah.
No people on mopeds coming over and hijacking your ride and nicking your watch.
Somewhere like Cornwall or somewhere like that, right. You know?
Scotland, the Highlands and stuff, yeah.
Yorkshire
Lake District, yep.
God, so they've done some lovely stuff here. So say you're driving around the lake in the summertime and you're racing around the lake, and then it turns into wintertime, the lake freezes over and then you can drive over the lake. That sort of thing will change the game, not dramatically, but it'll be lots of fun. And it just looked gorgeous. It looked really, really good. Yeah. It looks like they've really improved some of the online stuff as well.
They were also saying that this is going to be a way for them to actually deliver content. So with the season changes, they will be doing content changes. So different types of race modes, different types of vehicles will be offered up as the seasons change out. So it sounds to me also like seasons are literally going to follow the actual seasons in real life.
They change them week by week.
Are they week by week? Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
every week there'll be a new season.
That was a concern. I was like, I don't want to wait a long time.
Yeah, I mean, there was something just we're seeing on the screen now, some lovely, interesting cars like the black taxis and Metro 6R4s and all our bits and pieces that just look like lots and lots of fun. There's a hovercraft. That must be one of the set-piece races.
Yeah, the motorcycles, too.
When you're racing a train.
This is car racing. You're not going to be driving motorcycles. You're not going to be driving hovercraft.
Yeah, I saw the Red Arrows as well. So you get to race the Red Arrows at one point.
So, yeah, that looks fabulous. And it's going to be in 60 frames on Xbox X, which is quite nice.
And Game Pass.
And Game Pass, of course. So
and October the 2nd.
And October the 2nd. And you won't have to. That means that you don't have to pay for it. All you have to pay is your $7.99 or $8.99, whatever it is, your Game Pass, and it's there. Wow.
You do have to pay for it, but you have to pay for it through Game Pass.
Yeah, I know, but I would have bought... See, they'll maybe get me still. Forza Horizon 3, I bought the full premium pass, and it was the cuts of £100 that I spent on it, and Forza Horizon, Forza Bleu, ordinary.
Forza Bleu, that was a really good game.
Forza Bleu. So I usually buy the full thing, and I'm not going to now. I'll maybe buy the DLC if I'm interested, but yeah, that's cool. Gears of War also came out, and it's taking on a different slant on story. That Kate seems to be struggling, one of the young girls, and some of the guys are growing up. So that's the young'uns are getting a bit older looking. And this seems to be one of their members seems to be having strange visions and seeing things. And her mind, is she really a human anymore? Or is she taken over by the monster type things? So it looks like they're trying to build a good story into it. Of course, it's going to be Gears. Of course, we're going to be roadie running. But hopefully
I'm actually super excited for this, though. Yeah. I didn't think I was going to get excited for Gears of War as I did. I was watching the after show Inside Xbox the next day. They had an interview with Rod Ferguson. And one thing I did not know, and kind of makes sense now that I think back on it, but Gears of War has never used motion capture. So
really?
No, in terms of in terms of actor motion capture, they've never done that before until this game. And then they showed a kind of an inside look at that moment when Kate is running up, and I'm assuming it's her father that has been killed. We don't know who it is that's under that, you know, the sheet that they're putting over, but
it's a nice sheet.
It was a nice sheet. You know, I think that's going to add a level of polish to the Gears franchise that just hasn't quite been there before.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I cheered. I want to play the hell out of this. Unfortunately, it's just a mobile game and it looked nothing like this. They've announced a partnership with Funko and a Funko Pop type game, which is going to be on iOS and Android next year. And the little trailer for it just looked awesome. I would really play the death out of those little Gears characters. Yes. They look brill. And quickly then, a PC-only Gears game, which is a tactical top-down type gear like Halo Wars and Gears.
They made for Gears of War.
Yeah, well, we were thinking about you sitting there going, oh my God, things I love, Gears and the Halo Wars and that sort of stuff. So, okay, moving on. They opened the conference. We are jumping over here a wee bit, but it's just the way the notes are coming up. With this beautiful vista, with all of these, what looked like rhinos, a massive, what would it be? It's not a flock. It would be a herd of rhinos. Wouldn't that be right, Phil?
Right.
Herd of rhinos. Yep. A herd of rhinos. And we had no idea. We thought it was Tomb Raider. We thought it was, God, I don't know, Uncharted on the Xbox.
Well, at first we thought it was Jurassic World, didn't we? With the,
Jurassic
with
World,
the animals
yeah.
and the setting.
And it turns out to be Halo Infinite. And it looked pretty good. And the Master Chief is back. Let's hope they're concentrating on him. At the end of the demo, you've seen him slotting in a little... the little chip into the back of his helmet. So wondering if he's got back with Cortana because he was fondly looking at the spaceship for her when she was in a bit of trouble, or he was going out to find her again.
Yeah. Or is it a different AI?
So, yeah. Cortana 2.
Yeah.
Hey, Cortana.
And this is confirmed. It is Halo 6. This is definitely the wrapping up of the trilogy, but I think they're setting this up for not just to be the wrap up of that story, but also to be a platform for kind of moving forward, being kind of an ongoing thing.
They didn't date it, did they?
No. This is easily 2020. I don't think this is going to be 2019. I think this is going to be 2020. Gears is coming out in 2019. I can't see them releasing Gears and Halo in the same year.
That'll be good. Well, guess what? It's also going to be in Game Pass. And as Teflon, Jason in the chat says, right now you can sign up for $1 to sign up for a month on Game Pass. So you'll get access to over 100 games and straight away for $1. That's pretty good.
And to kind of piggyback on that cost savings thing, Amazon had a sale going on. I think it's still going on, but they were offering up 6 months of Game Pass for $30, but it was buy one, get one free. So it was basically, it was 3 months of Game Pass for $30, but buy one, get one free. So you basically got 6 months of Game Pass for $30. So that's 50% off. You can buy multiples. So at the end of the day, you can get in for a year of Game Pass for half price.
Excellent. Yeah. Good FYI. Okay, Just Cause 4 got a trailer out. It looks pretty cool too. Rico returns, and he's crazier than ever. Kingdom Hearts 3, which is, you know what? It's on the Xbox, first time ever on the Microsoft platform, and the characters from Frozen and Wreck-It Ralph and Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. And as crazy as it looks, I kind of liked it.
I liked it at times. Phil... Are you with me? You got tired of seeing the same trailer 5,000 times?
Oh, it's just time and time again. I liked it until it started getting a little bit too Japanese. With the big long blondes.
With the big hair. What were they from? What are they from Final Fantasy or something? Or something like that?
Copying my haircut.
Sampened it a bit.
Okay, and well, yeah, that's the thing. Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Yes! Again, this is the follow-up from Ori and the Blind Forest, and it looks just as beautiful as the first one, and I will be all over that. That is a fantastic game, available, of course, on Xbox and PC.
And yeah, but did I see correctly? That's now 2019 as well.
Don't know.
I think that got pushed. I was a little...
All right, okay. Oh, I thought that was... Did that not say it's coming very soon?
Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I heard it was pushed to 2019. Right. Which, you know, again, I like the fact that Microsoft is at least now taking that step of, hey, we're willing to let these games take the time they need as opposed to trying to rush them out. I think they've kind of been bitten in the ass, so to speak, with, you know, making, you know, games like Sea of Thieves kind of maybe rush out a little bit too early. I think that could have used a little more time in the oven to get the content, you know, more forward as opposed to having to wait for it. And State of Decay 2, you can certainly say, could have used a little more time in the oven just to iron out some more of those bugs.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't write down a date. Okay, cool. We've seen some new maps for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which is, of course, a Microsoft PC and Xbox exclusive. And there's a new map coming for the summer, and it's called Sandhawk. And yes. Then there's another one with battles and bits and pieces coming in the wintertime, isn't it? Coming later on.
There's a winter map coming, yes. They are not talking about it yet. But I imagine that is going to dramatically change some things, especially vehicle handling.
Now, what have I left out? There's something that I've missed. Did they show Metro?
They did show Metro Exodus.
Yeah, Metro Exodus looked rather good too. Again, it did look good last year, and that looks very promising. Love the Metro games. So
good ID games as well that looked interesting.
Yeah, they did a nice little montage of the ID games. There's a slew of them in there. And they're also, you know, something that should be talked about real quickly was Game Pass did also highlight out a few games that are going to be coming day and date into Game Pass. And one that completely I missed on initial announcement, but it's called Phoenix Point. And that's a game that actually is right now a crowdfunded game for PC only. But this was an announcement that basically announced it's coming to console as well. And it's from the original developers of the XCOM game. So I was surprisingly happy to see that's coming to Game Pass on launch because I have been back and forth almost funding it through Kickstarter and held off. And now I don't need to.
Okay, well, some of those things that were really good, there was like Pearl Abyss, Black Desert looked good. There was the skateboard game Session.
And yeah, everybody thought that was Skate 4 for a while.
Yeah. So, you know, that has a certain market. Maybe it's not us. Tunic as well. Was like a Skylanders style game. And, of course, we had seen the beautiful Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So, yeah, there was, you know what? The Microsoft conference had so much packed into it, and it was lots of exclusives, bought studios. That was a good, solid conference, and you were there. So, you know, there was good feeling at it, you know?
It was a very high energy conference. It was paced really well. There was never any real downtime with the exception of that Square Enix trailer, just saying. But no, it really went, it was just a great pace to the conference. So it gets high marks from me for that, and that alone.
I would sort of say that, there are lots of meat in it, a good solid conference there. And I would give, goodness me, I have to give them an A. I wouldn't give them an A plus, not an A minus, but definitely an A for content. And the potential of new content and a very, very positive outlook for the next couple of years for that now. So, very, very well done. I would give them an A. Good solid A. Good show for me. So, I'm an A.
Yeah, we're getting an A from me as well. Yeah, The amount of content they had was excellent. The flow was good. It was just a well put together show. The announcements of the purchasing of the studios and everything. So the future's looking bright. Yeah, definitely an A from me.
Yeah, A for me as well. Really enjoyed it. They seemed to. It was a good way to kick off E3 as well, because they showed not only the exclusives but also the they had the premiere announcements of the various different third party games, which I think gave them one up on everyone else. So announcing things like Division 2 and Fallout 76 and getting those Dying Light 2, getting those sort of exclusive type announcements.
Yeah, very good. And Greg?
So for me, I'm actually going to be an A-. I thought it was a great briefing, but I can't completely give them the passing grade, so to speak, or the A-plus grade, only because I do think, you know,
didn't give Crackdown you a fucking
3. You know, I didn't get a fucking t-shirt, exactly. No, Crackdown 3 moving to 2019, you know, that stings a little bit. Not having anything beyond Forza 4 for holiday season that really has an exclusive big title feels, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, you know, they did so many things right in the conference. And the conference itself was well-paced. It was high energy. And they showed they have support from third party and getting support from Japan, which they haven't necessarily had in the past few years. So there's a lot to be excited. This was a conference as much about the here and now as it was really about the new direction for Microsoft, and their commitment really is to Xbox. You can see that now. So
the 2 or 3 or 4 titles that the PlayStation have is great. You know, and if you have a PlayStation and an Xbox, fantastic. But if you're talking about Red Dead and all those Tomb Raider and all the bits and pieces that are coming out over the next year, year and a half, the Xbox One X and a 4K TV is a place to play third-party games. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry you don't want to hear it, but that's it. Yeah. Okay, Bethesda. Straight up, this was my favorite conference. My favorite. I thought it was so funny. I thought it was irreverent. I thought it was... I thought they were really, really good and really honest about a lot of stuff. And they seemed like pretty down-to-earth guys. So they kicked off there with a Doom. Well, I don't know if this is the right order. But anyway, Doom Eternal, which is ID Software.
I wish you'd follow the order of that thing. I've just lined all the videos up. I'm going to let me find Doom. Right, okay. Sorry,
I found it. Yeah, we'll follow the order that are listed, Mark. We'll follow the order that listed. We have an alphabetical listing. We have an alphabetical listing of all the games that were announced.
Where?
It's that's not alphabetical. The link. It's the links you gave us, Robin.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Bethesda right now, it starts off with
Doom Eternal. It is alphabetical. 2. For the record, it is alphabetical.
How can it be alphabetical when you got Rage 2 and then Doom?
You don't have Rage 2. You have Doom.
Oh, hang on. I might have a different Eternal. Link. I've got a different link to you guys.
Exactly.
I'm on a different link. Right, okay, sorry, carry on. So, yeah, go on then, Doom. I've got it lined up.
Yeah, so Doom, very well received. A game of the year for many, many people. And Doom Eternal is coming out now, and it's the sequel to Doom. And it's going to have lots more monsters, lots more blood, lots more gore, lots more Doom. So, Doom.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, it does. By the way... there is some debate going on in the chat now about where the place to play third party games is.
Let me guess, hardly done, and let me guess, PC.
Well, yes, certainly PC, and then also Star for Help is saying that he felt strongly that Sony won. We'll talk about that.
Sony
though.
Won. Yeah. You're joking.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll get to that.
Did you guys drool over the 4 games Sony showed you're having on this? Aren't you?
I drew over some of them. I think there's a strong argument to be made there. Yeah, so we'll talk about that shortly.
They could have done it better.
Bethesda.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get through Bethesda.
Yeah, go and practice your banjo. Doom. Again, Doom was good, great. Doom Eternal, I'm sure, will be great too. And then we'll talk about some Elder Scrolls stuff. And, of course, they made this nice joke about... it was Amazon Alexa, wasn't it? So they had this advert with this guy sitting on the sofa, and he was playing Skyrim, with voice commands with his Amazon Alexa, and it was, and he got frustrated and kicked all the stuff off the coffee table, and his wife came in and said, well, what was that? He says, oh, it was a fushrada. It was stuff to kick stuff off. And she's, yeah, is there not a spell to pick shit up? Which was, I thought it was really good. And it looked really well. It was very professionally done. And of course, the head of Bethesda comes on and says, look, you know, we had to do it. We had to. It's all very tongue in cheek because we have Skyrim on everything.
Here's the joke. That is real.
Yeah.
You can go to the Amazon Marketplace and find the Alexa app and download it for your Alexa to play Skyrim.
I'm trying it tomorrow. Yeah.
I thought it were a complete piss tape because they had it on the Motorola pager, then the fridge LCD display, and every cat and his dog with a display had Skyrim on it. So I thought they were just taking the complete piss out of themselves. But yeah, if it's actually on Alexa, that's going to be funny.
So Blades is a handheld game. It's going to be on phones. It looks fantastic. It looks like an Elder Scrolls game. It will be free. And you'll be able to play on your phone with somebody on a PC, with somebody on a Matchbox, whatever they're playing it on. And that's going to be a very interesting project for them, giving some love back. Elder Scrolls Legends, again, a digital card game, blah. And of course, they did do the big announce, which is Elder Scrolls 6, Skyrim's 6. Yeah. Skyrim me.
Real quickly, circling back to the mobile game.
Yeah.
I was shocked to hear this, but apparently, the Fallout Shelter game, that mobile game.
Yeah.
That game has made more money than any other Fallout game.
Unbelievable.
What?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loot crates. Wow. Lunch boxes.
Wow. Tells you the power of mobile.
Yeah. Happily give it away free. Free. Yep. So, the new Skyrim, Elder Scrolls 6, the Skyrim 6, Skyrim, whatever they want to call it, whatever it'll be called. And it's been announced. They showed a very, very brief trailer, which completely and utterly pissed off Duke Skeeth. From the veteran gamers, but what the hell? It's coming, and that'll be not too far away. They usually drop them pretty quickly, but I'd say that's going to be next year, isn't it? That Skyrim-y type thing. It's not this year.
I don't think it was a teaser. Yeah, it's a teaser. I think it's a ways off.
They actually said that we don't normally do this, but here's a couple of teasers of things we're working on in the future. So,
right.
Okay, so here's that biggie one, the one that was leaked or launched a week or so ago, Fallout 76, and we've seen some good details of that. We've seen some gameplay, we've got some details about how it's going to work, and they were being quite honest with saying, like, you know, we're trying stuff out here, guys. This is going to be a co-op, four-player. You can play it by yourself as a mission type thing, or you can join in with two, three, or four mates, and you can build a base and explore the world, and it's four times bigger than Fallout 4, and it looks pretty interesting. And that, you know, if this is a Rust type thing in Fallout land, I'm on for that. That looks good. That looks really good. So, and it looks beautiful. It looks very colorful. It's very interesting the timeline where they have it. So I suppose the timeline goes, this happened before Fallout 3. And it looks like when these people got out of this shelter, the world had already been nuked to hell, but looks like these people came out of the shelter and then used nukes everywhere else to turn it into a horrible gray mess.
Well, so, I mean, if you think about it, let's think about when you know, disaster strikes, right? If bombs went off today, there's still going to be a lot of greenery in and around the destructed areas. It's still going to feel like a city that was lived in recently. But as time goes on, as things start to decay over time, and this is kind of where you get to like Fallout 4, where as you come out of the vault, everything really is decayed to a level, you know, that makes everything very brown and dead looking. So I get where the vibe of 76 is a little more vibrant, a little more colorful because it's fresh, so to speak. Fresh destruction.
Sorry, a quick correction for Hardly Dan there. It's not Skyrim 6, it's Skyrim 7. Sorry.
Yep. Skyrim 6.5.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. You've just triggered him now. You've triggered him.
Yeah, he's triggered. So, yeah, we're looking forward to Fallout. Again, Fallout Shelter is also, it was dropped straight away, gone to the PS4 and Nintendo Switch, which seems to be a very, very good place to play that little game, which has made them lots of money. And they touched on Quake, they touched on Prey. Rage 2 came out, and it looks colourful. It looks very Mad Max-y. It looks kind of funky. And it's coming in spring 2019, which is a very busy time, February and March of next year.
Right.
Rage was one of those games which was a 50% game for me. 50% of it I thought was brilliant, and then it just seemed to repeat itself. So I hope they have the time to develop it properly this time.
I think the difference now is id did the open world stuff last time, which they're not usually used to. They normally do corridor shooters, don't they? So they've handed over the open world part to Avalanche Games, who make Just Cause 2, they made Mad Max, and they really clued up on the open world stuff. I saw an after-show interview with the two guys, one from id and one from Avalanche, and they're really... really sort of like sold me on this. And looking at that gameplay as well, I think I'm definitely going to get this. So I quite enjoyed Rage, apart from the driving around between
areas.
Yeah,
sort of. And it was good. It was good. I mean, and there was a bit that started to get... where it started to annoy me, I didn't even mind. I mean, the open world bit was like driving from one area to another, you know.
Right.
And some of the car racing thing didn't really gel. It didn't really need to be there. That was the Mad Max car racing thing. It just... it wasn't feast or famine.
The cars felt forced. Car bits felt forced into the there. Game.
Yeah. I think what pissed me off, I think there was a hospital thing or an old building that you had to go through that was completely and utterly covered in blood, and you had to fight your way through it. And then you got to a certain point, and then you had to fight your way back all the way through it again. And they started to repeat and reuse the maps again. And just that's where it was like the 50% to me, it was only 50% developed, and then they started reusing stuff. But anyway, I'd be happy to play more Rage.
I just want a proper ending.
Yeah. Okay, so then they've got a brand new IP, which is quite interesting because Todd Hard came on stage and said that, you know, this is going to be our first ever new IP, because all of the stuff that they have was previous IPs they bought or inherited or whatever it is. So Starfield is coming, which is a spacey thing. A spacey thing is about as best as I can describe it. It's spacey. And
right.
Oh, it's space RPG, isn't it? It said.
Yeah, spaceships. Spaceships.
I mean, let's be honest. This conference, and Starfield, I think, is the prime example of this. This conference, I think Bethesda just decided, you know what? Screw this. We're going to tell everybody all of the projects we have in the works for the next few years, because fuck leaks. We don't care about leaks anymore. This way there can't be any leaks, because guess what? Everybody knows about these games now. There's no secrets.
It was really funny when Pete Hines, is it Pete? I can't remember his first name. Mm-hmm. Mr. Hines he came on stage and says, oh, well, thanks to Walmart Canada, they've already announced this product for us, and it was Rage 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We've only got one thing to say about Canada.
Blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
Yep. What do we have to say about 270% dairy? Anyway, let's go. One other interesting thing that caught my eye was Wolfenstein Youngbloods, which is the BJ's kids. His two
BJ's
daughters.
Kids. Spoiler, by the way, if you haven't played the end of this game. Yeah.
Oh, no, thanks. I haven't.
Thanks,
neither.
Fucking... Thanks, Bethesda.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're the reason why we can't have good things, you fucking bastards.
Fuck me, please. Somebody calm that boy down. Anyway,
no,
I thought,
have no clue.
Yeah,
so I knew she was pregnant. Good. Now I know she had twins.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looked good. That looks like fun. That looked like fun.
The question is it a proper sequel? Is it going to just be DLC? I don't think we know the official answer on this yet.
I think it's a full-on game. It's a proper sequel. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, full-on game. So that was the Bethesda conference. I thought it was nice and light-hearted and interesting, and some good meat on the bones there, some big, big, big games, some little games, something free and something a new bit new. And I thought it was quite refreshing. Weren't up their own ass. So, I enjoyed Bethesda, and I would give it an A as well.
Yep. I have. It's not often we agree with you, Robin, but yeah, I'm giving it an A as well. I thought, I thought it was very well done. Like I said before, especially compared to last year's theme park debacle, it was awful watching last year. It was so painful to watch, but yeah, this year was brilliant. So yeah, A from me.
Probably a B plus from me. I'm going to hold my breath, or I'm not going to hold my breath to see how Fallout 76 works with multiplayer. You know, it's usually quite buggy in the past, and this just adds a bit more complexity. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'll be there playing it as soon as it comes out.
Yeah. Excellent.
I'm with Phil. I'm a B plus on this. It was a solid, fun conference. Mm.
Okay. Damn you. Turn off your ad blocker. I don't want to turn off my ad blocker. Ad block and reload. Okay, thank you. Square Enix.
This could be very short, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Very.
So, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, blah, blah, blah.
Known quantity. We already knew about this. Nothing new.
But it looks amazing, though. Especially that bit where she covers herself in mud for the stealthy bit.
You just like the fact that you start rubbing mud on her body.
Yeah. But, no, well, the other two rebooted Tomb Raider games, we both loved them. In fact, one was your game of the year, wasn't it, Greg?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for this. This is definitely going to be on the radar for us.
Yeah. She looked nice and muddy, nice and dirty, nice and grim. Some of the big animals that she was fighting in it looked absolutely fantastic. So yeah, a bit of a sizzle reel. Again, it's not going to be groundbreaking. It's going to be a bit silly and fantasy. But it's going to be one of those diehard movie style games. I'm going to have fun with it. There was lots of all gratuitous backside shots. Tomb Raider games are fun. Can't wait for that. Final Fantasy X Monster Hunter. Let's move on.
Final Fantasy 14 Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter World. You got to properly give the title its due justice, Robin. Come on. Babylon's Fall. And Just Cause 4. Just Cause 4 is probably the only other real mentionable.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that the teaser thing, which we didn't really know what it was about, that the Quiet Man looked interesting. I don't know whether this guy was deaf or not, but he ended up beating up some guy, so that looked stuff.
Yeah, it's a mix with live action, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, this is the Quiet Man?
Yeah.
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 Yes. So I'm not quite sure about the Quiet Man.
Hard to say, but this Square Enix felt extremely light on content, almost to the point of, I don't quite know why they did a press event. It was Nintendo-like, so it was just a video. But again, I don't know that they need.
I mean, it ran for about 30 minutes. It was very light. There was nothing new that we hadn't seen before. Maybe apart from the Quiet Man, and maybe it had been shown somewhere else. But it was very, very low key. So a very definite C-minus for me. I'm not going to waste any more time on it.
I can't believe you've just skipped past Just Cause 4 so easily. That game looked amazing. That was the highlight of the conference for me. Of their conference.
It was the only highlight of their conference.
Yeah, Tomb Raider.
Well, Tomb Raider, but Tomb Raider was on other stages.
Yeah.
Just Cause 1, so it was Just Cause 4, I guess. You know, again, Square Enix, it was just a weird 30 minutes. I don't know they needed to do what they did. So
Just Cause 4 looks fantastic, but Just Cause is what it is, whether it's Just Cause 2 or Just Cause 4. Now it's got better graphics and nicer looking.
Oh, it's got better physics as well with the weather. There's dynamic weather and whirlwinds and all sorts of tornadoes.
It's going to be fantastic. It'll be good fun, but it's going to be more of the same.
All games are more of the same.
Yeah, the whirlwinds that are on the screen now, they look good. Yeah. That looked fun thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Square. So I'm giving it a C-, and great, and Mark wants to give it an A+. So.
No, I don't. I'm going to give it... I'm hovering between D+ or C-. Because there are only two what interest me. I'm going to give it a D+.
No one's going to die.
No one cares. D+ from me.
Greg?
Well, no, Phil, let's go proper order.
D for me, because it all could have been covered elsewhere. So I think it's a bit of a waste of time.
I didn't think they needed a conference.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it gets. I was hovering between C and C minus. I'll give it a C minus, and mainly because I don't think the conference needed to be done. I mean, if you think about all the games they showed, almost all of them are covered in other conferences already, or would be, with the exception of, you know, the Quiet Man and that Monster Hunter, you know, Final Fantasy World thing. Outside of that, I don't think any of those other games were not on other platforms or other stages. So it was just kind of a waste of time at the end of the day.
I agree. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely correct. Okay, so let's move on to Ubisoft, a French company with lots of French people, and they were up there talking about French things.
Dancing bears.
Yeah, oh, goodness, yes. Yeah, so we may laugh at this, but this Dance Central, Dance Game, whatever the hell it's called for them.
Just Dance 2019, their yearly iteration. That game prints money.
It must make them oodles of money. What struck me when I'm watching this is, so I had this sort of dancing band and marching band, and they danced outside, and then they moved their way into the theater, and I'm quite sure a good majority of those people were going, what sort of thing are we at here? What, video games? Oh, wish we're getting paid. It's okay. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was jolly and lighthearted, but it had nothing to do with the nerds in the room. You know, are they appealing to the buyers? Are they appealing to who? Because, I mean, general public don't watch E3. So what's the point of that?
Well, I would actually, well, I, you know, general public... Okay, maybe you have a point there, but the gaming community certainly does. And, you know, I hate to break the news to you, Robin, but there's a lot of people out there that like Just Dance, that are gamers, that play games.
As we heard from a recent podcast, you like to cut a rug, you know, and you like to get down naked and, you know, we heard you talking about that. So Hardly Dan's one of his favorite games. He loves that. It's an unknown fact about Hardly Dan. He loves that Just Dance stuff. Really, really good.
Everybody, at the end of the day, you turn the cameras off, everybody likes to cut a little rug, to shake a little ass.
Dancing his big yellow white fronts.
There you go.
Okay, so that's how they opened, but let's go into Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Too soon, I hear you cry. Too soon. So they've went and got this fantastic map from... Hence was this year and your wonderful game that you played in Egypt. And they've went Control G to put it in Greece. Mm-hmm. And
trying to figure that one out.
Yeah. So you guys, I haven't played it. You're the Egypt one. But you all, when we were watching this together, were saying, yes, this just feels like and looks like the same game, but with a new skin.
With a new skin, yeah. Although it does look good. And there are a few new additions. There's a few new additions. In Origins, you had the random guys who you suggest I'm called Falakis or something. But in this one, there's named mercenaries now. It's a bit like the Nemesis system by the looks of it. So that's a new addition. But yeah, basically, it's Assassin's Creed Origins with a new skin on. That's the vibe I got anyway.
So here's the interesting rub on this game, and this is something that, again, just listening to some news outlets talking about their hands-on with it, it seems like they are trying to move this series away from being Assassin's Creed. There's no wrist blades. There's no hood. From what I understand, at least early playthrough, that you don't have the very iconic Assassin's hood. You know, and this also is now very much a proper RPG in so many ways. I think there is a very purposeful, gradual move with iteration on these titles right now to get this game away from being Assassin's Creed and to becoming kind of historic RPG game. I don't know. Phil, thoughts? I'm going to make you talk now.
Well, yep, make him talk.
Yeah, make me talk. I haven't played Origins yet, so I'm not entirely sure, but to be honest, they seem to be losing over the last few iterations, seem to be losing the whole going back to the present day or set in the future. That seems to be reducing more and more. And it's becoming more of a historical adventure with a theme, whether it's the Knights Templars or whoever. So it looks great. Again, with Assassin's Creed games, I usually wait till they go on sale. So at the moment, I'm just doing the London one. It's just been too many of them, to be honest. I'm burnt out. Loved Assassin's Creed 2. So if it goes back to anything like that, then great. And these games look amazing. They really do.
I liked the 2 year gap. I thought that was perfect for them. It gave enough to have that gap where you're not burnt out on them. The changes with the RPG elements was fantastic in Origins, but to do it so quick, it's a bit concerning.
They're just so long games as well, you know, and I think that's the thing. You need a break from a good break from doing an Assassin's Creed game.
And as Harley Dan noted, this game will have dialogue options. You'll also be able to pick your own gender this time from the get-go. So in previous games, I think like Origins, you could play every once in a while as a female character. But from this, it's like from the get-go, you will pick your gender, female or male, and it will play differently based on the gender you pick. I mean, again, I think they're doing some new things, and I think they're going to continue to evolve this game away from being about Assassin's Creed and about being a more historical, you know, RPG adventure.
Sorry, damn it. I thought I was muted there. Sorry for the typing noises. Assassin's Creed. Yeah, well, I've got lots to catch up on there, definitely. Beyond Good and Evil 2 was wheeled out once again. The other Scotch Mist game. They had another fantastic cinematic trailer. Forget the game, just make the bloody movie. Year's cinematic trailer was fantastic. I'd like to tack it on to this year's one. They did roll out some gameplay, which did look a lot more realistic as a game, I suppose. Not as fancy, of course, as a cinematic trailer. It's not beyond... You said this, Greg. It's not beyond Good and Evil, which was dungeons and working your way through puzzles. It looks a lot more open-worldy, jumpy around, not enclosed spaces. Now, maybe that'll come too. But again, I find it hard to get excited about this again because God knows when we'll actually see the thing.
Well, yeah, that and... It also had the very weird moment after they showed off the trailer and stuff. They had, was it Gordon Levy come out with his company talking about crowdsourcing content?
That's right. Yeah. We need your help to make this game.
It's like the game's not out yet and you're already asking for community input. So it was weird. It was a very weird kind of moment. We'll see. We'll see when it comes out. I'm not holding my breath. This is one that intrigues me, based off of the CG movies, but it didn't feel like Beyond Good and Evil to me. It felt like something with a Beyond Good and Evil skin to it, but it was more action-y, beat 'em up game.
It was funny because we were all talking together, weren't we? And it called it a space opera, and I says to you guys, "Well, was the first game in space?" And you all went, "Nope." So I don't know what the relevance is, but yeah.
I mean, it's set in a sci-fi setting. I should clarify what we had said before about it's not in space, but it wasn't set like on a spaceship. It wasn't, you weren't doing spacefaring activity. You were grounded on a planet, but it was a sci-fi setting.
Except they did show a few spaceships, so you never know.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, so it's interesting. But we'll hope it comes. The Crew 2, again, got a blast. I got to play the open beta. It's now open for everyone to play very, very shortly. Worth a go. Yeah, it's good. The Division 2 got another very, very sort of good in-depth look at the Division 2, and we like it. For Honor, the sword fencing type of game, which none of us have really played. I know Kim really liked the idea out of it. But I don't think she ever played it. But it, yeah, For Honor looks interesting if you're into that hack and slash.
This goes back to, again, kind of this games as service approach. For Honor is following the same roadmap, if you will, Rainbow Six Siege did, which is it started off rough. They continued to pour and invest time and money into the game to write it and to make the game that people wanted. And now it's got a pretty darn good following. And so, you know, to the point that they're going to continue to support it. So, you know, if you want swordplay game, this is a game to look into.
Definitely. Definitely. Then Skull and Bones, the game that Sea of Thieves wanted to be. Skull and Bones, if you can imagine Sea of Thieves without the cartoon graphics, this looks like it. Now, it did start off when you were on land and you seemed to be fitting out your ship and things like that, but I don't think it has the burying treasure or trying to find treasure. It is all about the ship-to-ship battles. I do love the way you can upgrade your ships and your cannons.
Yeah.
It looks pretty darn good. But
well, and I think this is the difference between, well, not one of the only differences, but certainly one of the big differences between Sea of Thieves and Skull of Bones is in Skull of Bones, you are the ship, whereas in Sea of Thieves, you are a character who accesses the ship. And I think that's a very important distinction. It definitely lends itself to different play. Skull and Bones also, you know, you control everything on your ship. You don't have to worry about shipmates to raise sails, to fire cannons. So I think it's going to be a lot more accessible, I think at the end of the day is a sad statement for Sea of Thieves because I think Rare wanted to make a very accessible game. But there was complications to that versus what the approach of Skull and Bones. Sorry, Mark.
I think Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag was a test ground for this game.
Sure.
Because the ship mechanics look an advanced model of that, and it was great, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it, but yeah, I think that was a test ground, and people did enjoy it, so this is the...
Even some of the animations look very similar in the...
Especially
in
the cannon
characters.
Firing,
Yeah, the characters, when they storm the ships, and there's one scene where he kicks... the captain kicks another person in the face, and that's almost exactly the same as Black Flag.
Yeah.
Mm. That's when you storm the ship.
Yeah, it does look good, though. It looks very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then last year they showed this thing, which was like a Toys to Life game, and it came out again, this Starlink Battle for Atlas. And they've whacked at it again, and I don't know if this is going to be the next Toys to Life thing or not.
I don't know if that's going to be the next Toys to Life thing. The game itself actually looks kind of cool. It's a little, you know, kind of Star Foxy, almost like space battle game. And you know, Ubisoft and Nintendo fully teamed up again to bring Star Fox to the game. So if you have a Switch, you'll be able to play as Star Fox and the crew. I think the challenges for this game are the ships themselves attach themselves to the top of the controller. My understanding is you don't need the ships on the controller. I hope that is the case because, I mean, if you think about it, you're putting this very weighty object on top of your balance controller. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a terribly comfortable thing over long term. But, you know, the people that like the Toys to Life stuff, you know, I think there's a market for it. If the game's good enough, then maybe it'll flourish.
Yeah. So Elijah Wood then walks on stage, the little hobbit.
Right,
and,
right.
And he is the artistic director for...
Autistic or artistic.
Yes. And for a game called Transference. And it's for Oculus Rift and Vive and PlayStation VR. Yeah. Yeah.
I think this showed better last year. It was more atmospheric last year. This year, it didn't look as good. Last year, it was more like your PT demo, wasn't it?
Mm, yeah. Do you know what? And also, it's almost like this full action video type thing. And after playing recently Late Shift,
right,
this looks like it could have been without VR. It looks like an interesting enough story, but again, I'm sure the VR people will love it. So I don't know. And then
things that come off the top of my head here, but transference, wasn't that an old term they were using back with Metal Gear Solid? I thought there was something about transference where you were taking your save or something like that. I just, the name is jumping out at me. So when I heard transference, I immediately thought of that. Anyway, all right, moving on.
I don't know. It was like this dream that I had the other night that the zombies were coming up the stairs, and I was shouting at Judith, "Don't! The zombies are coming! The zombies are going to get our floor tiles!" Yeah. So
because that's what zombies want, floor tiles.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's what I was told. I was shouting it in the middle of the night. Yeah. And then you have wacky dreams too. Yeah. And then we had a very fat Evel Knievel came out on stage, and that was actually near the beginning of the conference to talk about Trials Rising. Which is another Trials game. I loved the first Trials game. I enjoyed the second Trials game. And this looks another big over-the-top. I loved the purity of the first Trials game, where it was you against physics puzzles in a platformer and racer. What was the thing at an outfitter? Platforming racing puzzle.
Platform puzzle game.
So this here looks over the top, explosions and things busting all over the place, and yeah, and the guys that were introducing it were a bit of a nightmare. Yeah, but it's more of the over the top trial stuff. So,
but if you look now, you're not racing ghosts; you're racing real people by the looks of this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with the multiplayer, it did look like a lot more people in it, and that might be fun for the community stuff.
But, I think I'm kind of done with trials.
Yeah, it's like a golf club. You've had enough.
The progression
it's
in the game.
It's good for the first. For the first hour, it's great.
Yeah,
it's
just going to say that. You get to a point and it's just so fucking hard. Yeah. It's frustratingly hard. You just want to turn the fucking thing off and throw your console through the window.
Some people enjoy that. So I mean, out of the highlights, stuff that looked great: Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Beyond Good and Evil, Division 2. Skull and Bones. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff there, but nothing groundbreaking. And that was Ubisoft. That was Ubisoft. So there you are. Ubisoft also gets a C. A C-plus from me.
Yeah, gets C-plus. A C-plus from me too.
A B from me. I thought they had some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the B category, but B minus for me. I didn't feel like they came out with anything like new that really like got me excited in terms of new IP.
A naughty new new.
But everything was solid. You know, the stuff that they did show for the most part, I liked what I was seeing. The conference itself was well paced. There weren't too many moments of downtime or weirdness. The beginning with the panda was odd. Okay, I'm not going to lie. And then, of course, the moment when they came out on stage with Gordon Levy asking for people to help build the game with Beyond Good and Evil 2. Outside of that, it was a good conference.
Okay, let's get to it. Sony, let's get to this.
Yes.
We can skip through this, can't we?
Yeah, let's get through this car.
I don't think so. Okay, so let's talk about the pacing of the conference real fast. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah. Holy crap, what a bloody mess.
Yeah.
They did not do themselves any service, not only for those of us watching at home, because they bring everybody into this one area, showed off the Last of Us 2 trailer. Then they take a break and move everybody to a new area for the rest of the conference. Really interesting if you want to hear what it was like for somebody in that conference. DLC Jeff Cannata was in the Sony conference, and he talked about his experience and how it really shaded how he looked at things, because he was quite annoyed at what was going on.
Yeah, because while they were moving the people, People watching on the stream got to see some other footage and some other gameplay from Sid Schumann and Ryan Clements. So the guys who were actually at the conference missed all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's take it in order. I understand what they were trying to do, but I don't think it was very well executed. Mark, do you mind if we actually start with that game?
Which one?
Last of Us Part Two. Soon we'll start to talk about it.
Right.
So the idea was the game clip that we've seen is in like a church tent, and that's what they had the conference done up like. And I get what they're trying to do, but they couldn't execute fast enough in between each game because they changed the set, and then it went, for us watching at home, it went to the guys in the sort of talk show type thing while they were resetting, but it all took too long. It was like waiting for the bride and groom at a wedding. We were waiting for the excitement, and everybody was getting a bit bored. Now, The Last of Us Part Two looks absolutely friggin' gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it looks like one of the best games I've ever seen.
Looks absolutely stunning.
Unreal, isn't it? It's so lifelike. And Ellie's quite grown up there now, isn't she?
Here's what I don't like. I thought this was pure and utter sensationalism, guts and gore, and the kiss. Yeah, well, can't even mention the kiss because you're not allowed to talk about stuff like that anymore. You know, but you know, why you mention it?
That's it, just normal. It felt like it was pandering to teenage boys. To be honest,
yeah, but like for Greg couldn't understand, and he was quite surprised that he didn't know she was lesbian, but. For those
I didn't
who
see the DLC,
no, but exactly. For those who haven't played the Left Behind DLC, that gives the origin of her sexuality and her in the younger years before all the madness started. So, yeah, it's
well. A bit of a we watched this early in the other morning, and Judith was on and was sitting in the room with me, and we both groaned at that point. We just went, "Oh, for goodness sake, really." But,
I liked the actual graphical fidelity of that kiss because
gorgeous.
A character's mouth in a video game is usually awful because of the teeth and the tongue and that, and it looks like there's just a chasm behind it, but it looked quite realistic, and the muscle movement, the motion capture was spot on. But that's what you expect from Naughty Dog.
There was no uncanny valley sort of thing there. That they have that perfect. The other part that was just like the vicious, and I know it is a vicious, bloody game, but and Phil, you've touched on this in the last couple of days. I'm sitting there with Judith, and this is what puts Judith off gaming because it's so ultra violent. Lots of games are ultra violent, and this trailer was ultra violent. They had no need. They could have been really classy with this. They didn't need to go that way. It's the game looked beautiful. The first scene in the tent was fantastic. They could have had threat, but they were just showing blood and gore and guts. And yeah, and we're immune to it now. We think, oh, isn't that class? Did you see how brutal that was? But I don't think we need to do that this way. But maybe I'm just getting turned into an old fart. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, so you're old fart.
I don't. Well, yeah, you are an old fart. Let's call that what it is. But so the questions that get raised are: is this moment in The Last of Us 2? Is this really the way the game plays? Because a point was raised, and again, I'm going to reference some other podcasts that I've been listening to post E3. But the thought is that maybe this has been cut specifically to deliver these two different kind of moments. But it's weird because in this moment where she's kissing her and she's saying, you know, the other people are fearing you, and the girl leans in and kisses her. And then we jump to this is, you know, what we're made to think of what she's thinking about the moment she's being kissed, which is savagely killing and basically staying alive also. But I mean, savagely killing what, a dozen people or thereabouts. Yeah. And then it cuts back into the end of the tender moment. So the question is that really the way it's going to play out in the game? I don't know. It could be. It could have been just cut. Yeah. It could have just been cut for this.
They do that with movie trailers, don't they? You think, oh, I've seen this in the trailer, but then it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, I'm saying about the blood and the guts. The action scene was brilliant. It was really, really exciting. It was, I mean, it was the combat looked great. The way she it moved was. And worked around it looked fantastic.
But you know, and again, I don't want to gloss over this. I want to kind of touch back on this. When you guys were talking about the over-the-top violence, you know, she has that moment. She finally takes down that last guy. And instead of quietly killing him, you know, with her bow and arrow or just simply knifing him, her choice is to decapitate him. That's what happens. She literally decapitated him with that machete.
She hit him several, not just once,
not
or twice.
Not just once. The second blow, you know, that takes the head, and that is just a really disturbing moment. And kind of going back to this thought of, you know, video games and violence are already getting criticized enough. This is the kind of stuff we don't need going out in game trailers and getting to the press. I'm all for the fidelity of The Last of Us 2. I think it looks fantastic. Likely this is going to be, when it comes out, a true Game of the Year contender. Naughty Dog has been phenomenal as a developer. And I only took exception to the gore, the quote-unquote gore porn of the trailer that we got shown in the gameplay bits. But, I mean, I also want to concede – I loved, you know, for the most part, what I was seeing from Naughty Dog in terms of the fidelity, in terms of the mechanics. This game looks like an absolute AAA winner.
Okay, so let's go on to something that is allegedly AAA, and I'm going to jump about a bit, Mark, here. Sorry about this, because I only want to pick out some of the really top bits here. Yes, AAA, weird as fuck, Death Stranding.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. This, I can't believe this.
Now, Jason is in the chat, and he's going, Sony, I love Sony. Oh, Sony is fantastic. Come on, wise the hell up. And I know you love this shit, but...
No, he did. Hey, he did say Sony's boss is a douchebag, in fairness to Jason.
Can you just chat among yourselves about Death Stranding for just a second, please? Yeah, you chat on.
Okay. Death Stranding. Well, look,
my initial thoughts were that it's a fucking walking and carrying simulator by that trailer.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it?
Phil, yeah. This was the most anticipated trailer. Yeah. I mean, by a long shot. I think everybody wanted to see the gameplay. They wanted to see what this game was about. This personally didn't do anything to push me towards wanting to play this game, mostly because it is. I mean, it just didn't show any – well, it didn't give me any sense of what this game is. And it still had kind of that over-the-top Kojima, you know. I mean, all right, I'm going to take a step back. Sorry. The gameplay moments of this game, there was nothing exciting. There was nothing truly revealed other than the fact that walking is going to be a big part of this game. That he apparently is basically, you know, transporting stuff and weight shifting apparently is going to be a thing. I think that's one game mechanic I got from this, is that the backpack, depending upon how heavy it is and how stacked you have it, is going to shift on you and make walking difficult and maybe make trying to get to certain areas more difficult based on your load, so to speak. But beyond that, there wasn't really much we learned. It continues to be a little bit of a what the hell is this game? And then, you know, Kojima also has this absolute infatuation with American actors. And it was completely brought to light again with, you know, okay, yes, we have Norman Reedus. And then we have, I forgot what the gal's name is.
But there's Mads Mikkelsen in it and Lindsay Wagner.
Yeah, and then the big reveal of Lindsay Wagner at the end, like this was supposed to be some like, oh my God moment of, you know, like, and Lindsay Wagner. And then they show her very much in a young form, which she is not young anymore, sadly. Bionic Woman used to be one of my faves, but not so much anymore. I wasn't won over, and I think if you were in the camp of, oh my God, a new Kojima game, you're likely still, oh my God, But if you were kind of curious about, you know, hey, what's all the excitement about a Kojima game, and you saw this, you're probably saying, why?
Yeah. And it looks amazing, and I'm sure it'd be great as an arty film, but hours and hours of walking. Just from the clips, it looks like you're having to transport dead bodies somewhere. So, yeah, I agree. Looks fantastic. I don't think it's going to hold up, but people will go absolutely, you know.
This last little bit with the handprints and that was quite interesting. Got you intrigued a little bit, but it was all the stuff before, or just the constant walking and carrying. What the hell is
there
all
were that some.
About?
Really interesting parts in it. Mark used the hands and then the ghouly things coming down from the sky. That looked good, but holy crap, it's up its own ass, Jason. I mean, you're saying we're haters. We're not haters. We love good games.
If this were on Xbox, we'd be saying exactly the same. It's not because it's a Sony game.
Really want it to be good.
You have to understand it. You know, it's so aesthetic. You have to think of it at a different level. But
we don't hate Kojima either, because we all love Metal Gear Solid 5.
Japanese
don't we?
People.
We love Phantom Pain. So even though it was batshit crazy story,
and maybe it'll turn out to be absolutely fantastic. But so
come on, Jason.
Well, this
will be the best game in the world. Fucking right.
You said that about The Last of Us 2. Can't have both best game.
Yeah. Okay. Going to jump before
get back to Pete Town.
Yeah. Spider-Man. Okay.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. So Spider-Man got some nice new gameplay. It looked more like a game rather than a trailer this year. So we actually got gameplay where before it looked really over the top as far as pure CGI thing. It looks great. It looks very Batman in color. Looks like they're going to do a very, very good job. It's going to be a very, very good playable game. The effects look lovely.
What I like about a good Batman game, though, it is the combat and the smoothness of the combat. And I definitely saw that in this Batman game. It was a lot of good
Spider-Man. All right, well, good job on getting a Spider-Man game, then, isn't it?
No. I was doing that on purpose, kids.
Yeah.
This reminded me more and more of a Batman game than it did Spider-Man. And while that, I think, is not a bad thing. So just to come kind of a little bit of full circle on this and say that, you know, Batman combat is awesome. And I think it is going to serve its purpose in the Spider-Man game. My thing is, I don't like Spider-Man as a character. I find him a bit too cheeky, I like Batman. I want somebody that's going to kick your ass and make you bleed and is not talking about popping zits. And that's Spider-Man. Spider-Man's a kid. It's Peter Parker.
The thing what stuck out more in this trailer for me, well, this demo for me, was like last year and the year before, I think we just saw that negative effect shadow villain, that Japanese type guy. But now we've seen a lot more because he breaks them all out of prison. So there's the Vulture, there's, I can't remember, Rhino. There's all
Rhino,
the sort of like
Scorpion. Yeah,
all the classic villains. Yeah.
Well, they set up the Sinister Six.
The fighting in it looked fantastic. The way you were stringing the different moves together, and then it sort of jumped into a tiny little bit of slow motion in the middle of kick and stuff.
They've tried to go for sort of ultra realism, feels like, and then you get to the fighting and it feels a bit Street Fighter-ish. So, you know, they're throwing people up in the air and hitting them three or four times whilst they're in the air. Just that spoils it for me. It looks amazing, and if I had a PS4, I'd be playing it because the flying around and everything, it looks fantastic. But just that one bit of hitting people and kicking them whilst they're in the air multiple times just breaks it for me.
I suppose, I mean, out of all the stuff that was at E3 this year, this is the only game that my son, who's an avid PC player with a very, very good rig, this is the only game he said when this comes out, he'll have to get it for the PlayStation. So that's out of all of E3. Now, again, maybe that's because it's only one he can't play on his PC, or one of the only ones he can't play on his PC. So Yeah, look, it looks great. You're sort of right. I can get your point, Phil. It's either ultra real or it's a cartoon. And I don't know, because even the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, look, Marvel's rung Greg up now to tell him off. Spider-Man's not a zip-popping little kid. He's a kick-ass superhero.
Do you know what? It looks great. I like Spider-Man as a character. I think he's good. I don't mind that. I love the early morning old Spider-Man cartoons.
Yeah, I used to always get up at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning to watch Spider-Man.
Yeah, I used to love those.
Yeah.
So I like a good Spider-Man game. So, yeah, good. It's no Death Stranding, let me tell you.
It's no Batman.
Okay. One that went down very, very well with the audience was the remake of Resident Evil 2. And you didn't really get that it was Resident Evil until one of the main characters turned round and you seen his face. And
I still don't know who that is.
That was a great reveal. Neato, because when it first came on, I was thinking, this is some kind of VR mouse game. I mean, I was convinced it was some kind of VR mouse game, and then suddenly it went into zombie attack, and I was like, holy shit, this is a zombie game, and then
you called
the reveal.
Resident Evil.
Yeah. Mm. Here, sorry. Jason, yes, Spider-Man is a cartoon. Yes, it is, but the world that they've built and the world in the movies is a real world. Yeah, and the Spider-Man is in it. The real world movie with your Peter Parker, the recent Spider-Man movies, he does look real. Where this here, and then in the movies that we watch over the last 10 years or so, or 12 years, he's sort of Spider-Man in the real world, but this is the real world, but he's making cartoon moves. That's what we're sort of getting at. I understand.
Yeah, that was my point.
Yeah, so we're not knocking it. It looks fantastic. I don't
totally knocking it. Yeah, totally
knocking it. Yeah. Okay, so Resident Evil 2 was kind of cool. We had, of course, Kingdom Hearts again, but we'd already seen that before. God of War has an update. Ghost of
Tsushima. That's the one we need to talk about. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. Okay, talk about it because it didn't do a lot for me.
Oh, so this is the new Sucker Punch game. It is basically. Feudal Japan, you're playing as a samurai warrior.
Look, I lived through Feudal Japan once, and I don't want to go there again, so that's maybe why it's not my thing.
I think it's Feudal Japan. It may not be. It might be China, but I believe it is Japan. And you're playing as a samurai warrior. They said it is a fictional tale grounded in the reality of the timepiece. So, in other words, it's not going to be fantastical. There's not going to be monsters. It's going to be samurai combat, human on human, based on reality. You know, the real world events of the time, but in a fictional story.
Hmm.
It looks fantastic. The combat looked just super good. There's nothing I have to say negatively about this game. I want to see more of it. This is definitely one of those games where I'm like, This is one I would play on a PS4 for sure.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, it looked outstanding. The sword play, it just looks so realistic, really fluid. It was just like you were watching a movie, wasn't it? It was really good.
Yeah, it looks tremendous. Phil, I don't know if you have any thoughts on the game.
It does. It looks fantastic, and Teflon Jason was just saying that this and Spider-Man with you know we don't have PS4s, but I'd be interested in playing this and Spider-Man. I'd be interested in playing. It looks gorgeous.
The Spider-Man franchise is owned by Sony now, isn't that right? And they have the head lease.
Spider-Man has the movie rights. Yeah, Spider-Man has the movie. Sorry, that's Spider-Man. Sony has the movie rights for Spider-Man, but they made a deal with Marvel to do this game. So they don't own the rights to Spider-Man. Marvel still owns the rights to Spider-Man.
And that's why Spider-Man's in the new Marvel movies as well.
Exactly.
That's part of the deal,
yeah. So you've got your X-Men and Fantastic Four, who are owned by Fox. So they're in a different universe.
So do you think it's been kept very, very quiet at the moment, or is just not a possibility at all? Like Tomb Raider, which was delayed for a year from Xbox to PlayStation, do you think it's possible that the Spider-Man game will end up on another platform or two?
I don't. I don't think this, only because of the deal Sony has in terms of the rights of Spider-Man and for making this game, I don't see it happening.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well,
but you know what? Batman.
Yeah. Batman. Okay, do we need to talk about Control, Remedy's new
game? Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do.
Holy shit, we do.
Well, yeah, that was the big... That was like that and the Resident Evil 2 remake. Those were the two big surprise games for the Sony conference. You know, I'm happy to say they're both multi-platform, so it's not a big deal what platform they're going to be on. But Control, I started seeing that, and I instantly thought... Wow, this looks kind of like Quantum Break.
Yeah. As soon as I saw it, I knew it was Remedy.
Yeah. It looks really interesting, and I'm excited to see what they're doing here.
And they didn't show much, did they? It was more of a tease than a trailer. Yeah. But yeah, this is wanting to see more of this. Looks absolutely amazing. That bit where I've just seen on the stream there, where the gun like changes shape and alters and everything's just so cool.
Yeah, I said the ship changing gun, didn't it? Yeah, yeah, that looked kind of funky.
And by the way, Jason Johnson has corrected me. It is, in fact, in Japan. Tsushima is a Japanese word, not a Chinese word. So,
and China doesn't have samurais or katanas.
Right.
So take that, Greg.
Stupid American!
Well, there might have been mail order.
Whatever. I'm not too chuffed about it. I kind of got it right.
Amazon Prime in feudal Japan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I like Remedy, so that game might be good. And I loved Alan Wake, and I liked the other one they've done, Quantum Break, too.
It's also been powers.
Pointed out, we did skip past some very important bits of the Sony conference, which was the banjo player and the flute player.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, going back...
Why did we do that?
Well, this is the oddity of the flow of the Sony conference. So the Sony conference starts off this setting. They've set up this tent to look like basically a scene in The Last of Us 2 trailer. That was the whole point of that setup. They did this themed area. They crowded everybody into it. And then before the trailer starts, they had basically the composer, the music composer for the game, come out and play this bit on a banjo. But again,
it went on too long.
Went on too long. And also the press, anybody beyond probably the fifth row in that room, because they were all standing. Nobody was seated. It wasn't stadium seating. Nobody could see this guy. So they you know, he plays the banjo. Then The Last of Us 2 came up. Then they do their break. They scuffle everybody off into a whole another auditorium. They set that up, and this is now the proper rest of the show where it's going to be, you know, stadium seating, the whole nine yards. Then they bring out this flute player, and he plays, and I don't know who he was. I imagine he was probably the musical composer for Ghost of the Tsushima, but he plays this musical intro for another good couple minutes, and it just, again, was just this weird pacing that just kind of went on too long. And the whole time these guys are playing, they're either not showing anything on screen or they're just showing kind of this field in the background for the flute player. But there's no gameplay happening. So it's just this downtime moment for everybody. And it was just a very weird way to hold a conference.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, all I could think of was ding, 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 ding. When the banjo was starting to play, I was in squeal, piggy, squeal.
Why do you have to make fun of my hometown like that?
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah. You know what? They have something. We go through, like, Spider-Man and Last of Us 2 and The Ghosts of Hiroshima and Death Stranding, debatable. Fantastic things, but badly put together show, badly put together all together. I'm sure it was on paper, it sounded like a great idea, but it was a lot of effort for nothing. Nice things that happened. They dropped Black Ops 3 free for PS Plus members.
Yep.
And they had a little,
it's good.
And they were talking about Black Ops 4 and, right. So
that announcement, by the way, happened while the press was moving from room to room.
Yeah.
None of them heard that announcement. Yeah. None of them knew that happened.
But, the thing annoyed me about Black Ops 4 was it kept saying, oh, we've remade this map, classic map coming back. This map's from Black Ops 1, Black Ops 2. Why don't we make new fucking maps? You're paying all that money. And it's a multiplayer-only game this time. There's no story. And we're using old maps? What a cash cow. Anyway, rant over.
Yeah.
All right. That's Activision, though. That's not Sony's fault.
Oh, no. It's Activision, yeah.
Yeah. So let's give it a grade. Come on. Robin?
I'm giving, as bad as the show was put together, some of the content, and you cannot compare the amount of content that Microsoft put on their stage compared to this. You can't. The two are not the same. The quality of some of their content here was fantastic, but some of it was all pretty mediocre as well. There was no talk about future stuff, really, or where it was going. I give it a good solid A-. I can't give it an A. I give Microsoft an A. And that A- is, I think, pretty good score for the road accident that it was. So, A- from me.
Right, first time I'm disagreeing with you, Robin. I say it's a B. I give this a B.
Yeah, I'm being generous.
B for me. Only because of the few outstanding games that were in there, Last of Us, Spider-Man, and that Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, it's a solid B. They've got some excellent games coming up, but it just didn't spark any interest, and it was a complete shambles.
All right. Well,
Greg?
Where I fall, I have gone back and forth. A- to B+. I landed a B+ only because I felt the Microsoft conference was better, and I gave that an A-. I thought Sony and Microsoft really were close to switching spots. And the reason why I say that, as much as a debacle as the Sony conference was, and they really did have a lack of volume of content in their conference, it was just a few games. It wasn't a lot. What they did show was pretty damn good. And I dare say what they showed on their stage was the best out of any conference in terms of quality. So from that standpoint, you know, they're right there. So I give them a B+, and that's only really because at the end of the day, I did enjoy the Microsoft conference from a conference standpoint better than Sony's. Sony's debacle and the lack of quantity of titles shown off is what really brought it down.
You see, maybe it's because they're not brand new titles, but I would say Forza Horizon 4 was as good a quality looking game as anything that was on the Sony stage. I would say Gears of War, it was also as good as any looking thing that was on the Sony stage. And Halo Infinite, what we've seen, also as good as anything as a first party title. And
Halo Infinite was a game engine tech demo.
And Ori and the Will of the Wisps, you know, they are first party titles there that looked fantastic as well. Now, not to the same level as The Last of Us Part 2. And Spider-Man is
Spider-Man wasn't a graphically technical marvel. Yeah, it's more gameplay
It's Batman. Did that Spider-Man look any better in quality than a rock steady Batman game?
The two outstanding games for me graphically were Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima. You know, fantastic. It's great. What a fantastic time to be a gamer.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let's gotta wrap this up because things are moving on and this won't take long. Nintendo.
Right. I have to say that I fell asleep watching this, and it's not often I fall asleep watching these press conferences, but yeah, this bored the shit out of me, so I'm going to go to the loo while you guys talk about it.
Okay, so Mario Party is coming to Switch, would be fucking do. You can drop into Fortnite Battle Royale right now on your Switch if you want to. Xenoblade Chronicles.
We need to have a major conversation about Fortnite.
Okay.
So it has come out that because Sony will not allow crossplay with Fortnite or really any game, right? So Sony has been anti-crossplay this generation. Apparently, the way Epic's account system is, if you have started playing Fortnite on your PlayStation 4 and then you go and try and play Fortnite on the Switch or Xbox even for that fact with your account, it will come up with an error message blocking you from using that account. You actually have to create a brand new account to play on a different platform. It doesn't do it with PC because Sony has allowed the cross-play crossover, if you will, from PC and PS4, but they are actively blocking Switch and Xbox. So if you're trying to play on one of those platforms with your account, you cannot. And this has erupted into a very big issue for Switch players because there are quite a few PlayStation 4 owners that also own a Switch and have been wanting to play Fortnite on Switch. You know, that problem didn't really creep up with Xbox and PlayStation 4 because there's not many people that really are going to have the PS4 and Fortnite there and then try and play that on the Xbox. It's the same kind of console feeling, so there's no real issue there. But Switch owners right now are, you know, if they are PS4 owners that were playing Fortnite on Switch, on their PlayStation 4, and now they're trying to play it on Switch, it is a problem and something they cannot do. They have to create a new account. They don't get to use all of the stuff that they have unlocked. It's quite a debacle.
Yeah, so all the stuff they've bought, they can't transfer across.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Well done, Sony.
But yeah, so Fortnite on the Switch. It is a good platform for Fortnite. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's an exciting announcement for Switch owners, unless they were playing Fortnite on their PS4. And it's not so exciting.
Yeah, for the money. Sorry, for the players. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And they talked massively about Smash Brothers. And they talked about every character in Smash Brothers, I believe.
I wanted to reach out and strangle somebody during that moment. Smash Ultimate. Yes, Jason Johnson, super excited for that. It was a big moment to be realized because, let's face it, Switch owners have been clamoring for getting a Smash game on the Switch. And they said, you know, we are literally bringing every playable character we've ever had in Smash Brothers games to Smash Brothers Ultimate on the Switch. And that was an exciting announcement. It was an exciting moment for Switch owners and for Smash fans. And then they went back and said, let's talk about all the different characters as you've seen them come out in Smash games. And they literally went through all 64 characters.
Okay. I'm tired. I need to go to bed. I have a busy day tomorrow. I'm not wasting any more time on Nintendo.
D minus for me because it put me to sleep. It was
boring.
Phil?
Yeah, D to D minus. Terrible. Okay.
And Greg?
Take that, Gary Lever. Teflon.
I was thinking an A, but then I watched the conference and it's a D.
I did want to switch until this happened, and then I'm thinking, why the fuck do I bother?
I had a lot of high hopes for Nintendo coming into this. There's a lot they could have done with this moment. We could have heard about the next prime.
Didn't sell me a Switch, didn't that?
No. So.
There we are.
Disappointing. Very disappointing.
That part was not for me. It wasn't for almost everybody out there, with the exception of the core Smash gamers.
So that was E3. That was, if I do a quick straw poll, and no one will be surprised, but in reverse order, if you wanted, we have Nintendo, you have Square Enix, you have EA in fifth place, you have Ubisoft in fourth place, you've got Bethesda in third place, Sony in second, and straight A's and 1A minus for Microsoft. Some people would say that's no surprise in this podcast. But I think it was just down to the show. If they had the show better, I think Microsoft and Sony would have been level pegging. Sony may have had some of the quality of the new IP stuff, but definitely the depth and quantity and the future potential in the Microsoft conference really is what won it there for me anyway. Out of all the games, I was most impressed with The Last of Us Part 2. Yeah. So there you go. I have to say that.
Real quickly, I want to point out two things. One, we didn't talk about the PC Gamer Show, and that's okay.
It's all right. Dan's away.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't. There was nothing crazy announced at the PC Gamer Show. However, it did have my favorite moment from E3, which was they had brought on stage this developer. They were talking about this new game called Maneater, which is a great white shark simulator where you play the role of a great white shark, and it's like an RPG, and you build yourself up and all this good stuff. And one of the co-hosts of the PC Gamer Show, her name is Frankie Ward.
Very nice
on the eyes. She then proceeds to say to the audience and the viewers, you know, that's okay. I'm all for being a man eater. I'm a man eater on the weekends. Kid you not, it was like jaw dropped, and I'm like, okay, yeah. So favorite moment right there. Outside of that, my second favorite moment was actually going to the Microsoft press conference. I think that it was a very fun experience. It was such a different vibe being there in person. But overall, I will say this E3 has not lived up to, I think, a lot of the expectations for a lot of people.
Jason, shut up. Seriously, stop it. You're a grown man. Please. The games on the Sony conference were brilliant. The games on the Xbox conference were brilliant. Everybody has something fun to play. Stop this nonsense now, please. Okay, we're all winners. We all get a medal. You get a nice shiny one. Please stop it. No need for that. There's no need for being, oh, Sony, we're brilliant and better. We're just saying the quality of the conferences were different. We weren't really critiquing the games. Yes, the games are important, but they're all fun. They're all fun games. Please.
By the way, Jason, just for the record, the one game that is better than anything that was listed on the Sony conference, PUBG, baby.
Yeah, PUBG.
I was expecting them to announce it at the Sony one, to be honest, but nothing at all.
Anyway, yes, so that was E3 2018. I think Greg is right. It's funny when you don't have hardware. Hardware, no hardware, you know, hardware makes it very, very special in the launch of something very, very new. But it was good. It's good. It's Christmas time for 3 or 4 days. And it's great we all have a good old chats. So chats. Yeah. So
agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. We'll be back at our regular time on Saturday evening at 9 p.m. You'll catch us at twitch.tv.
No.
Well,
we don't podcast on Saturday.
Sunday, shit. Sunday, 9 o'clock UK on twitch.tv/OC podcast and on YouTube and on everywhere else. Please tweet us at @OC_podcast. Send a mail to the email address.
And a female.
Don't
be sexist.
And the next year or two is going to be fantastic. Yes, it's great. So let's get this thing wrapped up. Say goodnight, gentlemen.
Good night, gentlemen.
I love the fact they added a shield to PUBG. I think it could be awesome for close quarters combat. Just throwing that out there. Because yeah, the question PUBG, was asked. What was question it? Was PUBG asked in the life. Chat. PUBG for life, baby.
I seen you saying that the other day. PUBG is life. You sad what? Man.
PUBG is life. Life is PUBG.
So, we're out of here. Greg's away this weekend. I'm away this weekend getting high. And the kids are there, and they'll put a show together. So
when the cats are away, the mice will play.
Come and give everyone that's on the podcast this weekend some support. I think Phil's away too. So Mark and Nicole and Kim and some strays may appear. So have a good time. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this special Overseas Connection podcast. And Greg and Phil and Mark, good night. And good speak night. To you soon.
We'll play
goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. see you same time next week.